Today is the 25th day of September. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is fantastic to gather again around the global campfire and take the next step forward on our journey. And our particular leg of the journey right now has us moving through the book of Isaiah, which is one of the longer books of the Bible. In fact, short of Psalms, which has 150 chapters, Isaiah is the longest book with 66 chapters. We are well underway. Today we will read chapters 45, verse 11, through 48, verse 11. Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and its Maker, will you question me about my children or command me concerning the work of my hands? I made the earth and created humankind upon it. It was my hands that stretched out the heavens, and I commanded all their host. I have aroused Cyrus in righteousness, and I will make all his paths straight. He shall build my city and set my exiles free, not for price or reward, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord, the wealth of Egypt and the merchandise of Cush and the Sabaeans, tall of stature, shall come over to you and be yours. They shall follow you. They shall come over in chains and bow down to you. They will make supplication to you, saying, God is with you alone, and there is no other. There is no God besides him. Truly, you are a God who hides himself. O God of Israel, the Savior, all of them are put to shame and confounded. The makers of idols go in disgrace together. But Israel is saved by the Lord with everlasting salvation. You shall not be put to shame or confounded ever again. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens. He is God, who formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it a chaos. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I did not speak in secret in a land of darkness. I did not say to the offspring of Jacob, seek me in chaos. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. Assemble yourselves and come together. Draw near, you survivors of the nations. They have no knowledge. Those who carry about their wooden idols and keep on praying to a God that cannot save. Declare and present your case. Take counsel together. Who told this long ago? Who declared it of old? Was it not I, the Lord? There is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is no one besides me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn. From my mouth has gone forth in righteousness a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Only in the Lord it shall be said of me, a righteousness and strength. All who were incensed against him shall come to him and be ashamed. In the Lord all the offspring of Israel shall triumph in glory. Bel bows down, Nebo stoops. Their idols are on beasts and cattle. These things you carry are loaded as burdens on weary animals. They stoop, they bow down together. They cannot save the burden, but themselves go into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. Even when you turn gray, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and will save. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me as though we are alike? Those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh out silver in the scales. They hire a goldsmith who makes it into a god. and they fall down and worship. They lift it to their shoulders. They carry it. They set it in its place and it stands there. It cannot move from its place. If one cries out to it, it does not answer or save anyone from trouble. Remember this and consider. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the outcome from the beginning and from the ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my purpose shall stand, and I will fulfill my intention. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man for my purpose from a far country. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have planned, and I will do it. Listen to me, you stubborn of heart, you who are far from deliverance. I bring near my deliverance. It is not far off, and my salvation will not tarry. I will put salvation in Zion, for Israel, my glory. Come down and sit in the dust, virgin daughter Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, daughter Chaldea. For you shall no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Remove your veil. Strip off your robe. Uncover your legs. Pass through the rivers. Your nakedness shall be uncovered, and your shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will spare no one. Our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, is the Holy One of Israel. Sit in silence and go into darkness, daughter Chaldea, for you shall no more be called the mistress of kingdoms. I was angry with my people. I profaned my heritage. I gave them into your hand. You showed them no mercy. On the aged you made your yoke exceedingly heavy. You said, I shall be mistress forever, so that you did not lay these things to heart or remember their end. Now, therefore, hear this, you lover of pleasures, who sit securely, who say in your heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. I shall not sit as a widow or know the loss of children. Both these things shall come upon you in a moment. In one day, the loss of children and widowhood shall come upon you in full measure, in spite of your many sorceries and the great power of your enchantments. You felt secure in your wickedness. You said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge led you astray, and you said in your heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. But evil shall come upon you, which you cannot charm away. Disaster shall fall upon you, which you will not be able to ward off, and ruin shall come upon you suddenly, of which you know nothing. Stand fast in your enchantments and your many sorceries with which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you may be able to succeed. Perhaps you may inspire terror. You are wearied with your many consultations. Let those who study the heavens stand up and save you. Those who gaze at the stars and at each new moon predict what shall befall you. See, they are like stubble. The fire consumes them. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. No coal for warming oneself is this, no fire to sit before. Such to you are those with whom you have labored, who you have trafficked with you from your youth. They all wander about in their own paths. There is no one to save you. Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, and who come forth from the loins of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord and invoke the God of Israel, but not in truth or right. For they call themselves after the holy city and lean on the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. The former things I declared long ago. They went out from my mouth and I made them known. Then suddenly I did them, and they came to pass. Because I know that you are obstinate and your neck is an iron sinew and your forehead brass, I declared them to you from long ago. Before they came to pass, I announced them to you so that you would not say, my idol did them. My carved image and my cast image commanded them. You have heard. Now see all this. And will you not declare it? From this time forward, I tell you new things, hidden things that you have not known. They are created now, not long ago. Before today, you have never heard of them, so that you could not say, I already knew them. You have never heard. You have never known. From of old, your ear has not been opened. For I knew that you would act very treacherously, and that from birth you were called a rebel. For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, so that I may not cut you off. See, I have refined you, but not like silver. I have tested you in the furnace of adversity. For my own sake I do it. For why should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. He himself granted that some are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But scheming the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Psalm 68, 19 through 35. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Selah. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God, the Lord, belongs escape from death. But God will shatter the heads of his enemies, the hairy crown of those who walk in their guilty ways. The Lord said, I will bring them back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea so that you may bathe your feet in blood, so that the tongues of your dogs may have their share from the foe. Your solemn processions are seen, O God, the processions of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers in front, the musicians last, between them young women playing tambourines. Bless God in the great congregation, the Lord, O you who are of Israel's fountain. There is Benjamin, the least of them, in the lead, the princes of Judah in a body, the princes of Zebulun, the princes of Naphtali. Summon your might, O God. Show your strength, O God, as you have done for us before. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings bear gifts to you. Rebuke the wild animals that live among the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples. Trample underfoot those who lust after tribute. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Let bronze be brought from Egypt. Let Cush hasten to stretch out its hands to God. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. Selah. O rider in the heavens, the ancient heavens, listen. He sends out his voice, his mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, and whose power is in the skies. Awesome is God in his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Okay, so when you were a kid, did you ever wonder what your life would become? What you would be? Did you ever daydream about it or pretend or like say, when I grow up, I'm going to be a doctor. Or when I grow up, I'm going to be a pastor or whatever. When I grow up, I'm going to be this thing. Paul's talking about what we get to grow up and become in this faith in our reading today. And it's pretty compelling because if we remember, Paul is in prison as he writes these things. He's pouring his heart out and pleading, even though he's in chains, pleading for maturity, for us to grow up. And he starts by saying, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So if that's what we're aiming toward and we look around the body, we would probably have to at least admit there's a level of maturity that Paul is talking about that we don't normally exhibit toward each other. Even though we've grown up into human adults, we have quite a bit of growing up to do. And for Paul, this wasn't just like a solo adventure trying to figure it out, or that spiritual maturity would just happen by chance. You actually have to desire this, and God gave gifts for this. And according to Paul, those are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And their role was, and still is, to equip and build up the body, God's people. And according to Paul, this is part of the process. And he says that this will go on until, and I quote, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature or standard of Christ. So on the one hand, the fact that this could happen, that we could mature and grow into the stature or standard of Christ, that could even happen is amazing. But what does it even mean to grow into the stature of Christ or the standard of Christ? The concept in the Greek language, which this is written in, is to be made complete, to become a standard. We use this word still today, like that's the gold standard. Like that's the benchmark. To be a fully mature and respected person who exhibits the love of Christ and who have been and are being completed in Christ. He is the standard. And so now that we can kind of grasp this, it should be something that we're thinking of because it's an intentional thing. Growing up happens in different stages on many levels, and it's happening whether we're paying attention or not. But when we are considering where our lives are going, they're going wherever we're going. And if we're intentional about it, we end up where we wanted to go. And if we're not intentional about it, we end up where we are. And ultimately, if we're thinking spiritually about growing spiritually, then what we're talking about is our union or relationship with God. We want to be more aware of His presence. We want to be available to Him. We want to have our eyes and ears open to see and hear what He is doing, and to have an interpretation for what's really going on in this crazy, chaotic, beautiful, messy story called life. And as we continue to come to our brothers and sisters, and as we continue to be in relationship with one another, and as we continue to be in this relationship with the rhythm of the scriptures, and as we continue to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit and understand His comfort and guidance, then we are growing. And Paul gives a picture of this. And I quote, "We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love." So Paul is saying that this union that we want with God, the awareness of His presence, this is found in maturity. And for the people of God who are, according to Paul, growing in every way more and more like Christ. So people who are looking more and more like Jesus. So on the one hand, we could say, well, I fall so far short of that, I don't even know where to start. Or we could flip it over and go, wait a second, this is even possible? This is possible? Because that would be almost too good to be true, right? That the whole trajectory of this thing is that we end up looking like Jesus. Like when we grow up, we're going to be like Jesus. The answer, according to Paul, seems to be absolutely yes. That's what's going on here. So maybe it's time to grow up. Maybe we take on the popular adage and embrace our destiny. This is what we were made for, to grow up and look like Jesus. Can you imagine, just for a second? It'd be hard to imagine, but just imagine this. A world with 2 billion people who look like Jesus and act like Jesus and do what Jesus did. Because there are 2 billion of us who claim this. Can you imagine? I mean, we have the examples in the Gospels of what one Jesus did. If He is in us and among us and through us and in all of it, wow, He's not the holdup, is He? We are. It's time to grow up. And Jesus, we cannot do this on our own. We don't even know how to get through a day navigating correctly on our own. And so it can be very frustrating. We can hear this as ways that we need to do better. Like, we just need to be better. We just need to be more disciplined. We just need to do better. And that's true. We just need to do better. But we can't. Like, we're powerless. Only You can transform us. But what Paul is telling us is that's the goal. That's what he's trying to tell us. That You are trying to transform us and mature us into people who look like You. And so, Holy Spirit, come. May we surrender to it. Because we won't be able to white knuckle it. We won't be able to fight our way through. We have to surrender to You. Let go of things and people. And allow You to guide us into maturity. And so, Holy Spirit, come, help us grow. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible. This is Jessica in California. I'm calling on the September 1st podcast, a mother that's praying in desperation for her daughter, Rebecca, who attempted to take her own life, who's been abused and bullied and sexually abused, and she's only 14 years old. I pray, Lord, that you come beside this family. There's nothing worse than to see your children suffering. I've been going through some, watching my children go through some things, and it's just heart-wrenching, and it consumes your whole life. You can't live unless you know your children are going to be okay. And Lord, we know you're an awesome God. You're all-powerful. You're in charge. You've promised to use all things for our good, Lord. So we just ask you, Lord, to put a hedge of protection around Rebecca. Help her to find forgiveness. Help her to forgive herself. Lord, I just pray that you just make her feel your love where she's at, Lord, that she can know how much you love her, how worthy she is, how beautiful she is, and that, Lord, you can heal her from the wounds that she's experienced in her life. I just thank you, Lord, that you have promised to teach our children. You promised in the Bible that our children will be taught of the Lord. So I just ask you to teach her what is right, what is the right way to feel, what is the right way to think, what is the right way to be, Lord. I just pray that when she comes out of that hospital, that she has found you and she has peace and understanding, and that she lets this go, Lord, and she looks up to you every day of her life. I thank you, Lord, that you're working on this, and I just pray, Lord, for the family to trust you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Hi, this is Lisa, daughter of the one and only King. I went on a trip back to Israel back in 2017. It was then that my tour guide introduced me to Dab. Since then, I've been part of the community through the years. I've listened to the prayer requests and lifted people up in prayer that are in this community, and I've loved praying for others whom I don't even know. But we are connected as brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the first time calling in for me. My prayer request is for the daughter of my Israel tour guide. She's 14 weeks pregnant and is fighting for her life. During the entire pregnancy, Brittany has been bleeding due to a torn uterus. Doctors have advised her to terminate the pregnancy, but that is not an option for her. She believes that it is God's choice, not hers. She has now had 4 blood transfusions. It appears that a miracle is all that will save Brittany and the baby's life right now. I'm praying and asking each of you to pray and have faith like the woman that touched the hem of Jesus' garment, knowing he would stop the bleeding. And he did. He healed her. The Lord is needed to intervene and stop the bleeding to save this wife and mother of their 7 and 3-year-old and unborn child. Believing and trusting and grateful for all you prayer warriors who will pray.
This is for Lorianne from South Carolina, who was rightfully grieving the loss of her precious and beloved husband, Stephen. Lorianne, you have a right to grieve, and our God understands and knows your grief. Think about Jesus with Lazarus. He knew he was going to raise him from the dead, but his heart still broke for his friends who grieved so much. Do not allow what's called spiritual bypass to hit you as a result of being told that you shouldn't be grieving, that you should be trusting more, that your faith isn't enough. Our God gave us grief for a reason. Our God himself grieves. It is right. It is human. We are body, mind, and spirit. You are caring for your mind and your body via your spirit. But what your body and your mind experience is very real. Trauma is real. I am so sorry for what you are going through. But Lorianne, don't ever let the enemy tell you that you are not allowed to grieve. You are. And our Jesus is crying right alongside you. We go through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't stay in it. We go through it, and you will come out the other side. But that day is just not today, and it probably won't be tomorrow, or next week, or next month. But the day will come when you will get through it, Lorianne. God loves you. He hasn't forgotten you, and you are allowed to grieve. We are lifting up your broken heart before our Lord.
I come to you, DAB, today and seeking prayer for people that are dealing with opioid addictions. I just found out that an old friend of mine from college, roommate, just recently passed away from fentanyl poisoning, and how fentanyl has devastated our country, and how our inability to deal with pain management has devastated our country and Lord God and the world that we live in. Allow us to find ways of dealing with his pain. You know, he was recently in a horrible motorcycle accident. Actually, it happened several years ago, and since then he dealt with, you know, the opioid addiction because he had to deal with the pain management situation, which later escalated, and you know, he'd been to rehabilitation, and he was never able to really break through the addiction throughout the years in dealing with his pain. And so, Lord God, I ask you, God, to deal, help us to deal with pain and suffering, Lord God. Deliver us, Lord God, from understanding how opioid addiction, now fentanyl, Lord God, has devastated families throughout this country, Lord God. Allow there to be healing, Lord God, in these families, Lord God. Allow there to be healing in the minds and the hearts of people that are dealing with this addiction, Lord God. Free them, Lord God, I pray. And to find them, help them to find the help that they need, Lord God. And allow us to find ways of dealing with the pain that we deal with, both physical, mental, and spiritual, that lead us towards this chemical imbalance, that trap us towards these drugs, Lord God, the opioids, the fentanyls, the oxycontins, the drugs and addictions that trap us, Lord God, from being able to deal with the pain and numb that pain instead of allowing us to deal with it, Lord God. May your Holy Spirit bless these families across this country as they deal with these addictions and problems, Lord God. Be with them and guide them, I pray. In Jesus' name.